In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you as we continue through this, as we begin the Advent season. And as the post-Thanksgiving, hopefully you had a wonderful experience with your families. We talked about yesterday. Hopefully you accomplished at least a couple of things. You know, I mentioned three things yesterday. I talked about giving thanks to God. So hopefully you were able to, get to Mass yesterday, Thanksgiving Day. I know that's difficult because some people have to travel long distances to see family and friends. Maybe even praying a rosary together, or at least at the very minimum, an extended meal blessing, not just the usual bless us, O Lord, but, everybody got a chance to go around and to thank God for something that they were grateful for during this year, or for something going on in their life right now. And then second, hopefully you guys ate some wonderful food. And just enjoyed yourselves, I think there's a joy of just relaxing and resting in the Lord. It's kind of like a Sunday, which is that day of rest. And hopefully you were able to do that and be thankful just for and remembering those who are not with us anymore. This is the month we celebrate, All Saints and All Souls. So this may be the first Thanksgiving that some of you may have experienced without a spouse, or without a child, or without a grandparent, or a parent, it's a little strange, or the first Thanksgiving while you have a child who's away from college and wasn't able to get back for Thanksgiving. They'll get back for Christmas, but not for Thanksgiving. So it's strange not having someone there. Feels like a hole, like a void, when that person's not there. And one thing that Ace and I talked about a while ago, he mentioned on a previous show of his daughter getting married next year, how they're setting a place at the reception for relatives who have passed away who are not able to be there at the wedding. And maybe that's a wonderful way to remember at Thanksgiving time too, or on a birthday, or Christmas or a holiday like that. To remember in a very special way the person who is not there. And again, I mentioned when you set that table place for them, that is a reminder that God is also setting a place for us in heaven. He's preparing a place for us. He's getting it ready for us. And we have to do everything we can in this life to make sure that we get there so we can enjoy that banquet, that wedding feast of the Lamb in the book of Revelation 19, verse 9, that we say in every Mass, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And so we have to say yes to that invitation so we can spend eternity with our loved ones and with God himself. And hopefully, also, you got a chance to serve the poor in some way. If you weren't able to get to a homeless shelter, or you didn't do anything at your parish for the shut-ins, for those who are celebrating Thanksgiving alone, maybe for the homeless or something, pulled up to that traffic light and that person who's standing there, asking for a handout, maybe you gave them something, maybe it's something to eat, bought a meal for that person. These are the things we have to be mindful of. And this is how we respond to the holiday season, decorations. I mean, that's all fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. But we have to remember really what this season is about. And we haven't even started Advent yet, and everybody's already talking about Christmas. So let's just take the time, take a deep breath, step back, and just really, as we, start this Advent season this weekend, let's really just prepare our minds and our hearts to anticipate the coming of our Lord, to do that Advent wreath, to really focus on the readings that are going to be in Advent, and again, preparing our minds and our hearts to receive everything that God wants to give us. Of course, we're making the Christmas list and checking it twice, you know, and making flight preparations. Of course, we got to do that, of course. But let's not just caught up in the secularness of the holiday season and be caught up in all of the things that go with the holiday season, the shopping and all of that, and without putting first, really remembering what this season is really all about, the coming of God Himself incarnate, being born into the world, you know, and what that means for us. You know, and what his coming into the world means for us, how God has reached down into human history and wanted to become part of our reality, a part of our lived experience. You know, so hopefully you had a wonderful time and still enjoying. You know, a lot of people, you know, take the long weekend, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, kind of a 4-day extended weekend, if you will. And that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing. So hopefully you're enjoying that, including myself. You know, I'm not traveling. I'm home, and I love being home. I love being with the family. We had everybody here for Thanksgiving. Fortunately, the two kids who are older are not so far away. You know, it's a short flight for them to get here, and so we were able to have them here, which I'm extremely grateful for. So today, my friends, we're continuing our series, Jesus and the 12 on Tour. And the next tour stop is Magdala. And I've been to Magdala, beautiful little city. It's mostly ruins, but they've been excavating it and finding all kinds of artifacts and archives there. And now, of course, that's where Mary Magdalene is from. She's a Mary of Magdala or Mary Magdalene. So we're going to talk about Jesus and the 12 on tour. Our tour stop today is Magdala. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. And the crew that I'm looking forward to going on tour with one day, God willing, it would be Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us on social media, our call screener, Matt Gabinski. And of course, my main man, the producer, writer, husband, father extraordinaire, the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how goes it today?
It's good, man. Heart is full. My daughter flew out today, my oldest. She had to go back to work a day early, so my baby girl's still in town. Get an extra day with her. So who knows what kind of trouble we could get into before she has to fly home tomorrow. But it's been a good week. Like to I don't it's rare that I get a whole week, you know, with my daughter, especially now that they're adults, because, you know, getting off from work and they have relationships and then going to spend time with their boyfriends, families, all that stuff, right? It's just a lot of moving parts. But you know how it is. Like once you get it juggled, and whether it's a day or a couple of days, like you just breathe it all in and then hold on to it to sprinkle throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah. It's always a joyous time to spend with family, and it's really special. Right, as they get older and you know they start having their own lives. You know, it's not that you be well, yeah, it is because you become less and less a part of their lives. I mean, obviously you're still in their hearts and all of that, and hopefully they're taking the lessons that they learn from you know, from us as their parents, and incorporating that into their own lives. You know, as they make their own way through the world, as they begin to build the house of their lives with the Lord. Hopefully we laid a strong foundation so that their life with the Lord will be strong and firm.
Well, and the thing I've learned, especially with Thanksgiving, because it's such a tradition and the girls know it's my favorite holiday. As they've grown up and they've tried to have holidays out, you know, away from me, they're still calling. Hey, how did you make this? Hey, what do I do with this? How long do I cook this? So I talk to them probably as much, even when they're not there, just because they're trying to recreate those traditions and flavors and things that they grew up on. Because I've kind of relinquished them. I'm like, listen, you don't have to force yourself to always go, well, Dad wants us for Thanksgiving. We want to try to be like, if you want to come. But if you want to create something new, or if there's something you'd like to try, like, please don't ever feel pressure for me on that. Like, I will always have you, and there's always a place at the table in my home. But, you know, never think for a second that you always have to try to live to what you think my expectation of the holiday is. because I'm fine. Like, we have all of our memories and we'll build more when it happens, but, you know, I'm right here. And they're like, okay, good. Like, you could just kind of see their posture change when I said that a few years back, because I think that it's just a unspoken of, oh, this is what I have to try to live up to. No, you don't. Just do what you feel like is best for your family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and you talk about building memories. That's true, because there's going to be a time where they're going to come with their grandkids
yep.
over, and that's going to be a whole different dimension.
I'll probably likely go to you for that.
Yeah. How awesome is that? All right. We're continuing our mini series, Jesus and 12 on Tour. Today's tour stop, the city of Magdala. And of course, we'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Oh, yeah.
This is the sound of my wallet emptying on Black Friday. There it goes.
Well, you know, that is quite appropriate music, right? Because don't they call today Black Friday?
Yeah.
Right? Although, again, you know, if you get caught up in the spirit of the secularness of this time of year, you know, people started like a pre-Black Friday sales, right? Trying to or Thanksgiving Day sales, trying to entice people to spend their money even earlier.
Yeah.
You know, but traditionally it's that Black Friday. And then isn't there another one, like a e-commerce Monday or something
so
like that?
So Cyber Monday, yes. Yeah.
Cyber Monday, that's Cyber what Monday, it is. Yeah. Yep.
And then, of course, Giving Tuesday. I love how it's the end of the three, but, you know, of course, supporting Catholic radio is another way to just after whatever's left, I guess, as I say, or try to match. It's like, all right, well, I spent this on my kiddos, so I'll give this as much, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was never really into the whole Black Friday. I don't even like shopping.
Same.
You know, be honest with you. I don't like the crowds. I don't like waiting in line, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I see the appeal of buying things online.
Yeah.
You know, those Cyber Monday. Because, I mean, you order and it gets delivered to your house. You don't have to go anywhere and, you know, spend any gas or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the stress and all that. You just, yeah, you just do it on your computer and you get it.
We're
you know,
spoiled.
So I could definitely see the appeal of that.
Yeah.
But we have to support, you're right, Catholic radio and Catholic retailers and even business owners, right? There may be some secular businesses, restaurants and things like that are owned by people of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that'd be important to – now, I would do that. Now, if there was a – if I had to shop for something and I knew there was a Catholic owner or it was a good – person of faith, you know, good Christian, I would go support them. I would make the drive to make sure that they stay in business, because we need people like that in the world today as examples of how to do business, you know. So yeah, I'm loving that.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're continuing our series Jesus and the 12 on Tour, and today's tour stop brings us to the city of Magdala, which is not too far, actually, from the Jordan River. And so, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus and his time in the city of Magdala. And would love for you to join us today on this adventure of faith. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, continuing in our Thanksgiving reflections, heading into the weekend, remembering to ask for God as he helps to bestow upon us not only our gifts, but also in his creation, earth, sky. Taking a moment to really enjoy time with family, time outdoors, obviously, too, being thankful for the food that we've had over the last few days and what is still to come as we get ready for our hearts into Advent. And, of course, being a part of that, all of us here at EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. I look forward to doing this segment every single day. This is where we take one of the Psalms, of course, from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. So you have the law, the writings the prophets and the writings, and the wisdom literature be part of the Ketuvim, which is the writings. And we take these psalms that we hear in each and every mass, and we connect these psalms to your everyday life, your everyday lived experience, so that the goal, part of the goal, is when you go to mass and you hear the psalms, you're able to enter into God's word more deeply, with a richer understanding of how God is feeding you in and through his word, and especially through the psalms. And today we're going to conclude our look at Psalm 37. So Psalm 37 is in book five, book one of the Psalms, 1 through 41. All those psalms, of course, attributed to David. And so this is 40 verses long. We're going to take a look at the few verses at the end. David started off this psalm, first of all, this prescript or superscript, very simple, Ha David, of David. Very simple. And he started off, do not fret because of the wicked. Do not envy those who do evil, for they wither quickly like grass and fade like the green of the fields. Right? I love that. And it seems like that, doesn't it? Like when you see injustice going on in the world, when you see sometimes the prevalence of evil over good in the world, when you see people getting away, conducting evil deeds and seemingly getting away with it, that could be a source of frustration. It's definitely a source of frustration for David, as he talks about this. But he goes, they wither quickly like grass, they fade like the green of the fields. Yeah, they have their day now, but it's a passing glory. It's a passing way of experiencing the world. They're living for themselves right now, but it's not going to last. What's going to last is our relationship with God. Is going to and God's justice in the end will prevail. So that's how David set the tone for this particular psalm. And now we go toward the end. So let's start in verse 37 here. Mark the blameless. Observe the upright. For the peaceful man, a future lies in store. So for the man who seeks peace, who's blameless in his heart, again, not sinless, because that's impossible for us, but blameless or righteous or perfect, right? I remember that word perfect, talmim in Hebrew means mature, whole, and complete. Right, so we have to prepare our hearts to have that relationship of love and intimacy with the Lord, and when we do that, we will find peace and we'll have a good future. Again, the future is again looking toward heaven, not any fulfillment on this earth, but the fulfillment that God will give us in heaven. Because remember, we cannot find fulfillment in our jobs. We cannot find fulfillment even in the vocations, the tremendous talents and gifts that God has given to each and every one of his children. We can't find ultimate fulfillment in that. Not even in our spouse, we can't find ultimate fulfillment. That will only come from God. These other things in our lives that are important, they reflect the relationship that we have with God that's lived out in the real world, either through with a spouse or as a priest or religious, or as or with the talents that we have and the gifts, our careers, our vocations, all of those are reflections of how we implement this love, life-giving and loving relationship with God. But that's our ultimate fulfillment are not in those things. They point and direct us toward that relationship with God, toward the beatific vision, life with God forever in heaven. But sinners shall all be destroyed. No future lies in store for the wicked. Ah, see, so are the our actions and our decisions that we make in this life have eternal repercussions and consequences, right? So David is very clear here, and he's correct. The sinners shall all be destroyed if they make the free will decision to separate themselves from God's love, to say no to God's invitation to share life with him, then That's the end. That's the end of the road for them. And that's what hell is. Again, we talked about this before. God doesn't condemn anybody or throw anybody into hell. We choose hell. And hell exists because God knows that, sadly, although he doesn't want this, there will be people that will freely choose to say no to his invitation to love, intimacy, and communion, and by their own free will decision, separate themselves from God forever. And that's what hell is. And there's no peace there. There's no future there. There's nothing there but emptiness and pain, because that's what they chose for themselves apart from God. And so we have to be mindful of that. So I'm grateful to David for his reminder of how we're supposed to live a life of humility, live temperately, and live to make a gift of ourselves to others, which is what this season of Thanksgiving, as we prepare for Advent, that's what it's all about. A beautiful reminder of how, in covenant relationship, we make a gift of ourselves one to the other.
Yeah, and I heard it recently, and I can't remember if it was from a mass homily or if it was just in like a devotional reading, of when it comes to the words we use to describe people or experiences, we should be most careful of how we describe ourselves to ourselves. Because where we live in that headspace of that we're not enough, or we don't have anything to offer or nothing to give, like, first of all, that's the biggest lie you could tell yourself every day. And then if you make a mistake, to stay in a head, because we spend all day with ourselves, right? So we know the things we're doing wrong or have done wrong, but we don't have to live in that space of that you're defined by all of those mistakes. You learn from them and then you roll past it. If anything, your resiliency is your gift to the world, because everyone else doesn't think that they're resilient either. So if they see you bouncing back and they see you giving your gifts and an abundance of your faith to the world, then that's contagious.
Yeah, that's so true. And what we can't do, and you're so right, what we can't do is compare ourselves with others.
Right.
I think we get into that certain headspace because, you know, I don't have much to give. I'm really, we do that when we compare ourselves to other people,
right,
who maybe have been given, you know, 5 talents when we only got 2 talents. And it doesn't matter how much you were given, it's what you do with it. Because remember, in that beautiful parable, the ones who were given the more talents, they got the same reward in the end.
Yeah.
Right. They got the same reward in the end. So it doesn't matter how much, it matters what you do with it. Because Jesus says, the more that one is given, the more is expected of you.
Sure.
You're right. So you just worry about doing the best you can with what you have.
Well, and that's why I love focusing on spiritual gifts versus like physical gifts, because again, what's going on internally is what we really are gifting to the world. Just because you may gift your level of empathy through a guitar or through a speaking engagement or whatever, that does not necessarily make you more talented than someone else. We're all equally gifted spiritually, and then it's how that comes out in us. God is prompting us through the things that we're doing on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And just to finish up the psalm here, but from the Lord comes the salvation of the just. And we see that salvation coming in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his work on the cross, their stronghold in time of distress. And so as we, and Ace and I were just talking about, during those times of distress, during those times of feeling not adequate enough in our gifts, the Lord will come to strengthen us. The Lord helps them and rescues them, rescues and saves them from the wicked because they take refuge in him. Right? It reminds me of that beautiful line, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. With his strength, we will have the strength to persevere and to carry on. All right, Jesus the 12 on tour. Next tour stop, Magdala. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Wow.
Love me a good ride.
Woo! What? Oh, yes.
We need a little walking bass for Black Friday.
Wow. Oh, and that's definitely fretless bass for sure. I mean, upright bass, it sounds like, for sure.
It's my early Christmas gift to you.
Woo! Yeah. You know what I love about this? Obviously, it's jazz. I mean, clearly, sure. Right?
Yeah.
But those hand claps, it's kind of got that Indian kind of feel. Like, if you listen to Indian music, very polyrhythmic.
Yeah.
So, and it's that little odd time signatures and, you know, filling those spaces, you know, with rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, in a very particular way. Like, when the hand claps first started, I thought it was like, oh, this is kind of an Indian vibe. But that's very Indian.
Yeah.
But then the jazz came in, like, whoa. So you can, I love that you can, you know, my mind went somewhere first, and then boom, the music took me in a different direction. Yeah. But you can hear the influences of it.
Yeah.
You know, I love that.
Well, and I had a guitar friend of mine. He made a comment one time. He goes, whoever told us the rules of music? He goes, we're still trying to figure it out, right? So jazz is one of the perfect playgrounds to play with different, you know, rhyme and meter and tempo and shifting and instrumentation. And, like, there's no rules. It's music.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
And the hardest thing I had when I was playing jazz was the chord changes come so fast, you know, and it's easy to lose where you are if you know... like every couple of bars, like, it, you know, is a different chord. So you have to really at least have a fundamental basic knowledge of theory, you
sure.
know, like, okay, the song is in A flat. So what does that mean? I can solo in the minor third. I can solo, you know, and just have to be comfortable where you are and not think so much about the chord changes, but think about where you're going to land
right.
and where the band is when you're landing, when you're finishing. Am I going to finish on a tonic? Am I going to finish on the dominant fifth? Am I going to, I mean, what, you know, so you really, I had to think a lot.
Sure.
When playing jazz. And that's why I admire those players who just, it's just like, almost like breathing for them, you know, when they're playing. I just, I admire and respect that so much.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. I'm Deacon Hal Brick-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're continuing our series, Jesus and 12 on Tour. And today's tour stop is the city of Magdala, from where Mary Magdalene comes from. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Continuing in our Thanksgiving reflections, we're just very thankful for what God has brought all of us through and to. But as we gather together, remembering to pray for those who are in labor, those who are working hard today, be nice and kind and gentle and allowing God to give us opportunities to minister in that. So very thankful for his power and glory today as we give him all of that honor today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Jesus and 12 on Tour. Today's tour stop is Magdala, where Mary Magdalene is from. So let's take a look at, first of all, the scriptural witness. Now, it's not mentioned too many times in the scriptures, but it was a place where Jesus and the 12 went. And the Gospels, in fact, only make a fairly passing reference to Magdala, also called Magadan. In some transcripts, again, it's the difference between the Hebrew and the Aramaic pronunciation. So it's either Magdala, which is, we're more familiar with that pronunciation, or Magadan, which, again, the difference between the Jewish and the Aramaic pronunciations. But same place. So the first scriptural reference we get is in Matthew's gospel. And this is after the miracle of feeding of the 4,000, right? There was the where Jesus fed the 5,000, and then he fed after the sermon on the plain, he fed the 4,000. He says Jesus got into the boat and went to the region of Magdala, right? We see that in Matthew chapter 15, verse 39. And so Matthew does not record any specific teachings or miracles that Jesus did there himself. Yet it emerges as a significant place where one of Jesus' most faithful disciples, Mary Magdalene, hails from, right? And so she's important. So she, well, first of all, Jesus healed some demons that were in her life. You know, Mary Magdalene was one of the women at the foot of the cross. You know, it's interesting. All the apostles ran away except for John. But and one of the three Marys at that foot of the cross was Mary Magdalene. She's also was one of the women that were there when Jesus rose from the dead. She's one of the first people to see Jesus after he rose from the dead. You know, he was the first one. She was the first one that he revealed himself to. You know, I think this says that says something very special about her. You know, and so Jesus went there and you know went to that area where she was from. And so, you know, as we said, Mary Magdalene was healed. It says seven demons in Mark's, well, both Mark and Luke record that episode, Mark chapter 16 and Luke chapter 8. And she became one of his close followers, one of his closest disciples, accompanying him through his ministry in Galilee and supporting our Lord out of her means in Luke chapter 8. Now, if you go back in the archives at EWTN.com, go to Podcast Central or on the EWTN app, or you can even go to my website, deaconharold.com, go to my YouTube channel, and you can see all of the Beacon of Truth shows that I have on a playlist. We did an entire show on Mary Magdalene. And it's interesting when it says that she supported him out of her means, right? So it's very interesting. So with Mary Magdalene, right, and her last name obviously speaks of the city that she's from. It doesn't say Mary Magdalene, daughter of so and so, or spouse of so and so. Like, in, for example, in the gospel, it says Mary, and the wife of Joseph, right, or Joseph of Arimathea, or Mary the wife of Clopas, right? And so, we don't have any attribution other than where Mary is from. So we don't know whether she was married. We don't know anything much about her family, you know, who her father was or her mother was. There's really no scriptural reference point for that. But it says out of her means. So she was supporting Jesus financially, you know, and so in order to be in a position to do that, she had to be a woman of means. Now, again, some biblical scholars look at this and say, well, she was a prostitute. She earned her money, you know, that way. I think that's a stretch. I think that maybe she had inheritance, that she came from a well-to-do family. And for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't reference her family or her husband. So maybe her husband died, or maybe she was never married. We don't know. We just don't know a whole lot about her from the scriptures. But she was a woman that was able to support the Lord in his ministry and his work by her means, right? But again, she didn't look for anything in return, right? So it wasn't like Jesus healed her from those seven demons, it says in Mark's gospel. Let me heal these seven demons so she can support us financially. I mean, that's, you know, that's usury or something like that, right? So that's not what was going on at all. She was so grateful to God for entering into her life and bringing healing and a different sense of purpose and meaning into her life, that she was grateful and was and happily supported him, but even more importantly, followed him, right? She followed him. And we see that is extremely important when we see again how she was there at the foot of the cross, because she was there out of love. You know, she was there bringing you know spices and stuff to the tomb when she saw Jesus risen from the dead. You know, so she it was because if it was just about the money, as soon as Jesus was arrested, she would have just left and said, oh, okay, I'm done with this now. But no, it was love. It was she did everything she did out of love for God, which is a beautiful lesson for us. And if she did have some kind of sordid background, which I'm not convinced of, but if she did have some kind of sordid background, Jesus brought healing to that. He brought healing to that after his encounter with her, you know, and that's important for us that we foster that deep, loving encounter with Jesus, no matter where we are, you know, no matter who we are. God loves us and wants to share life with us. And so Mary Magdalene, I think, is a wonderful example of that. So again, she was present at the crucifixion. We see that in John's gospel. Of course, John records it because John was there, right? And she was a witness the burial of Jesus. So when he was taken from the cross and laid in the tomb, we see that in Matthew 27. And then she was the first person to encounter the risen Lord. And we said, again, John also records this in John chapter 20. So let's talk a little bit about the town of Magdala itself. It's not, like I said, I've been there, and it's a city that's basically nothing but ruins now. But there's been tremendous archaeological excavations, and they've uncovered all kinds of really interesting things. So if you know, again, let's pray that one day we'll get back to the Holy Land, to end of all the hostilities there and the fighting, so that we can come back and really experience the depth of our Lord's love through these incredible holy sites. In fact, they built, last time I was there, they were building a hotel, which I'm sure is finished by now, but they were building a hotel so that to attract more people to come and stay there and have retreats there in the city of Magdala. You know, because if you go down from Jerusalem before you head to the Jordan River, Magdala is right there. Again, on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's near the, well, today it's Migdal. Is what they, it's near that city. Again, similar kind of a name, Migdal, that's what it's called now. It was a city that was had a thriving fishing trade, and it was also a hub and a center for commerce as well in the first century. Obviously, because it's situated where it's situated, it's a perfect location for ships to come in and to bring traded goods, and also for fishing because they're right there on the Sea of Galilee. The first century scholar Josephus described the prosperity and the city's involvement in salted fish production. Josephus again records that one of the early scholars that records a history of ancient Judea. There are, as I mentioned, there are also archaeological discoveries there. And they were still doing excavations, like, again, the last time I had the opportunity to visit. And the biggest thing that they've excavated, that they've uncovered, and I saw this in their excavations, was a first century synagogue, right? The first century synagogue, which was richly decorated with mosaics and frescoes. And you can actually see those. And I took a bunch of pictures of those. They're actually quite nice. And this color shows you the quality of the craftsmanship. You can still see that the color in some areas of those mosaics still pop. You can still see some of the rich colors. Obviously, they're faded, but you can still see the colors of those original frescoes and mosaics, which suggests that Magdala was a center of Jewish worship and culture, right? So you had the synagogue right there in town. There's also a church there, by the way, that has a wonderful ship in the background. So you walk into this church, you can, there's windows in the back. You can see out toward the Sea of Galilee, and behind the altar, there's a ship, a wooden ship, which would have been one of the typical fishing vessels that would have been used on the Sea of Galilee. And there's also a crypt if you go downstairs from that church, and there you actually have the original floor, which would have been similar to the original city streets. You can go down and actually walk on the streets that people would have walked on back then. There's a part of the floor that's the again original part of the city. And there's also a beautiful painting of the woman in the healing. All you see is the feet of the people walking, and you see a hand going out to touch the feet of Jesus. That's the woman who in Luke's gospel was healed when she touched the feet of Jesus, right? When she just, if I just touch the hem of his garment, you know, if I just touch that, then I will be healed. There's a beautiful depiction of that there as well. They also, something else they also discovered there were ritual baths, you know, as part of the excavation. You can see those as well. And there were fishing pools, and there were different moorings and kind of mooring ramps and where the ships were docked there and all of that is still, you can all see that. So it shows you the kind of the importance, the economic importance of that town. So, it makes sense for Jesus to go through that region, to stop at a town like that, maybe to pick up some provisions or supplies, because there's no recorded miracles or anything that Jesus did there. He probably passed through that region, like I said, to probably pick up some supplies and stuff as they continued their journey through Galilee. As far as how important symbolically that town is, Magdala was between Capernaum and Tiberias. So obviously Capernaum was kind of like Jesus's second home, if you will. I spent a lot of time in Capernaum. That's where Jesus gave the discourse in the synagogue, the the bread of life discourse, in John chapter 6. We also see he healed Peter's mother-in-law there as well. And also Tiberias, which is another fishing city. In fact, if you go there on pilgrimage, you can go to a restaurant, you can eat the same type of fish that they would have eaten back in the first century as well. All right, so Tiberias was an important city. And so Magdala lay between them. So again, most likely Jesus would have stopped there again on their way up, probably going from Tiberias up to Capernaum. They stopped in Magdala. Again, to probably pick up some supplies or maybe take a rest, stay there in the city for a couple of days before moving on up the coast along the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. Again, even though there are no specific events there, it was an important time in history. So I'm Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers, and you're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're continuing our tour. Jesus and the 12 on tour. Today's tour stop is Magdala. And I hope you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday and just sitting back and enjoying the program today. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. So let's look at some of the themes of Magdala, right? The themes of kind of this region. First of all, the theme that comes to mind first is healing and restoration. Right? I mean, Mary Magdala, deliverance from the seven demons, symbolizes total freedom, total liberation that comes from the encounter with Christ. And seven is a number of fullness and completeness. So, for example, in Genesis, the world was created in 7 days or seven acts of God. So seven is a number of fullness and completion. Jesus' healing is not partial, but it's complete. Restoring her to her full dignity, right? So that encounter with Christ frees us from the power of sin and frees us to be fully who God created us to be. That's why the sacrament of reconciliation is so important. That's why Jesus gave it to us, so that we can come back to that sacrament over and over again, so that when we fall, we don't stay on the ground. We get up, we pick up that cross and continue to follow Jesus all the way to the end of our lives and hopefully spend eternity with him in heaven. So that's an important theme we think about Magdala, healing and restoration. Another theme is discipleship and fidelity. So again, unlike the apostles and many others who abandoned Jesus, in his suffering and death, his passion on the cross, Mary Magdalene remained faithful, standing at the foot of the cross, as we see in John chapter 19. Her presence there testifies that authentic discipleship perseveres even in suffering. You don't stop supporting someone or stop being their friend when they do something wrong, when things get tough. We don't do that. We don't turn our backs on someone when they're at their worst. We would never do that for our children. We'd never do that with our spouses. Sometimes there's an ugly side of life. Sometimes again, we're all dealing with the effects of sin. Sometimes there's some ugliness there within us, and sometimes that ugliness comes out. And it's in those moments that those vows that we made when we got married, or those vows that we made when we got ordained or took vows as a religious, that's when those vows get tested. Can we stay faithful even when the other person is difficult, even when there's sin, even when there's transgression? Can we remain faithful? And Mary Magdalene gives us the example that yes, we can. That discipleship and fidelity, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of pain, reflects God's, because God suffered for us, and we are to pick up our cross and follow him. So we are to be followers of Christ in that same vein, following his example of how we treat others in our lives when they're at their worst, right? When they're at their worst. So that's another beautiful theme, discipleship and fidelity. She was also, it says, the first witness of the resurrection, right? And we saw that in John chapter 20. At the empty tomb, Mary encountered the risen Christ, at first mistaking him to be the gardener. But when he spoke her name, she recognized him and was sent to proclaim the truth of the resurrection to the apostles, right? So that's why sometimes she's called, Mary Magdalene's called the apostle to the apostles. Right, because she was the one who presented the news of Christ rising from the dead to the apostles. So what a great gift that was for her. And so it also shows the importance, finally, of the role of women in the gospel. So the gospel highlights Mary Magdalene's important role in Jesus's mission. She embodies the truth that in Christ there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ. That all of us have the ability to follow Christ and to make him an important part of our lives, no matter where we are on our journey of faith. There's always room for God to work in our hearts and in our lives. And so the fathers of the church, Origen, Pope Gregory the Great, St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, all talk about the importance of Magdala and Mary Magdalene. St. Augustine, for example, calls Mary Magdalene the new Eve, which of course is the Blessed Mother, but he's not saying that she's on the same level as the Blessed Mother, of course, but that in a sense she's called, quote unquote, the new Eve, for she witnessed the resurrection in the garden at the tomb. And that's where our redemption began, right? Jesus died on the cross, but he also rose from the dead to show that he conquered death, that death could not keep him bound, that he broke through the barrier of death to bring life to each and every one of us. And so that his resurrection shows that life is possible, but death is not the end. And she was a witness to that, right? She was a witness to that, St. Augustine talks about. St. John Chrysostom praised her fidelity at the cross and her courage to proclaim the resurrection. Think about this. First of all, someone that you know is dead, someone comes to you, "I saw him, he's alive." Okay, really? I know that you're grieving right now, and I know that you were there. We know that you were there. You saw him die. But I mean, of anybody, we weren't there. We were in hiding. But you actually saw him die. You saw him being buried, and now you're coming back and telling us that he's alive. Yeah, right. I could see some of the skepticism there. Again, when Thomas wasn't there, we see that skepticism even amongst the apostles themselves. But she helps us to for them to encounter Jesus. She's the person that brought the good news, and there had to be at least a part of the apostles that said, "Wait a minute. Jesus talked about this," and they started remembering the things that Jesus said. Could this be true? Could this be possible? That what she's saying is true? So she brings that, the first messenger of the gospel, of the fullness of the gospel, the risen Christ. She's the one that proclaims that. St. John Paul II, in his beautiful document, Mulieris Dignitatem, A Dignity Vocation of Women, talks about the importance of Mary Magdalene and the role of women in the life of the church. So through the Gospels, again, in City of Magdala, there's no dramatic miracles or Jesus, any rich teaching, but its significance rests in the person of Mary Magdalene, again called the Apostle of the Apostles. So her Her healing, fidelity, and proclamation make Magdala a great symbol of discipleship that's transformed by the power and the grace of God. All right. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EW10.com/radio. And my prayer is that during this Thanksgiving weekend that you have a powerful encounter with the living God. And until we are together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.